welcome to another episode of The Flank. I'm joined by the one and only, the human turret, the world champ himself, one of the best ARs to ever do it. Give it up for Sam LaRue, a.k.a. Octane. We got some of the best analysis in the building, the world champ himself, Christopher Duarte Parasite. We got the multi-world champion, the multi-champion, a legend, an icon to the Call of Duty community. Give it up for Patrick Price, a.k.a. Aches. And then, of course, we got the one and only, the executive producer of The Flank. Give it up for Benji Nice. And today's episode of The Flank is presented by Xfinity. You want the fastest, most reliable internet? You guys know what to do, man. It's the best in the business, and we wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for them. So huge shout out to Xfinity. They've been absolutely incredible. So huge shout out to them. Gentlemen, how we doing, man? A crazy championship Sunday. Listen. I almost had a heart attack like five times today. I'm just going to straight up say it.
I was stressing, bro.
I was stressing, man. I was stressed
out. You guys roast me for having gray hair. Tom's going to have gray hair soon.
I was losing composure.
You had FaZe Black in the Challenger Finals. You had FaZe in the Grand Finals. Yeah. You're going through it.
Little stat for you guys. Major 1, FaZe Black got first in Challengers, and FaZe got second. Major 2, FaZe Black got second in Challengers, and Atlanta FaZe got first. So it's a little bit of a switcheroo there. Thought it was interesting. Also, FaZe Black was up 3-0 in the grand final, and we got
We got Nikki Deed.
unfortunately, Nikki Deed.
FaZe is running Challengers and the CDL grand finals.
And we're doing our thing in CSGO as well. We're doing our thing.
Just qualified in CS.
FaZe Esports is going crazy. Go follow the app FaZe Esports handle as well on Twitter.
Can you watch some CS on me this week?
Was this event FaZe's 50th? Is that what I think I saw?
The 50th championship, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, as an org?
I don't even know. I'm not even sure.
You know, 100% it's their 50th, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know, but crazy day of matches. Sam, how you doing today, bro? You doing good?
Dude, I'm feeling fantastic after today. My heart rate was elevated. I don't know how everyone in chat and just in general watches this for fun. Like, I competed, and it was less stressful than I was watching a series today. Like, the games were nuts.
Just a little heads up, guys. Atlanta FaZe might be pulling through. If we do that, you guys can stay on the mic. We'll just switch over to the full cam, and we'll bring them all on the couch.
I don't know if they're pulling through.
I don't know. It's either they are, or Kason might be bringing them. I don't know. I'm not really too sure. But if they do, just a little heads up. But, Pat, how you doing today, man? Long day at COD. Pat, you were in there watching with us.
I'm doing great. I've talked about this for a long time. When the top four battle, it's a good day. We didn't have to deal with any of those bad matches that we all know exist. But we got good four teams, battled all day, and some good series in the grand final. But superstars came away with it, Tom.
Yes, kind of yes. But very, very long day. Ben, you doing all right? You doing good?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you said today was excellent. I think this whole tournament, once we got going to the business end, was excellent. I thought especially the weekend was good. We had some great matches on Friday. We had some surprise top six teams. And, what we wanted to see, the top four battled out to see who ended up on top. And then, Atlanta FaZe ended up being, the team atop the pile. And excited to do it all again in about, 6-7 weeks in Toronto?
We have the next major in Toronto.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's been some rumors with Major 4.
More than that, right?
But we're about to get into so there's a break, obviously, a couple of weeks. And then we're going to get like 11 straight weeks, I think, or 12 straight weeks of
I think it's 8 weeks away, Ben.
8 weeks away. So we have 2 week break, qualifiers, the major, and then we go back into qualifiers and another major. So,
damn.
2 months. We'll be in Toronto.
It's going to be a movie.
Yeah, for sure. What is everybody spamming draws?
Oh, you should go look at his bio. It's good.
What's his bio?
Bro, he put CEO of Optic at his
professional
bio.
Professional Call of Duty player for Atlanta FaZe 2022, Call of Duty World Champion, CEO of Optic. And he added, he put the at in his
he
fucking
put CEO
his bio. What's wrong with this guy, man? What's wrong with this guy? I mean, he's definitely, I will say this weekend, the body shooting and the shit talk from everybody was fucking phenomenal. I mean,
you got to think Pat just lit him on, bro.
Hey, I saw Celium shooting bodies. I heard Draza talking. I love it. These guys have the talent. I've been wanting these guys to act like this for a long time. I hope it's working for him. It looks like it is. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad. He may be CEO now. He might have more ownership than other CEOs, so I like it. I love it.
Duarte, how you doing? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Had a great weekend of Call of Duty. Had a great weekend of music. I'm just grateful that I got to be out here, and it's all thanks to my boy Tom over here, FaZe, Xfinity, and all of, obviously all of you guys at home. So thank you guys. Seriously, yeah,
thank
this
you
was
for
amazing.
Being here. It's a pleasure, guys. But guys, we're not going to waste any time. Let's hop into the matches and recap what happened today. First series of the day was the New York Subliners going up against Toronto Ultra. This one ended up being a 3-0 sweep for the New York Subliners. Let's scroll down and take a look here at the stats. Pretty balanced on both ends. Definitely think New York had more damage and probably outslayed him a little bit, but a rough day here for Insight. Tough matchup. Envoy stepped it up today, which was good to see, but I think we can all agree that Toronto Ultra, just how they looked going into Major 1, just even throughout the stage, I was saying it online, they just haven't been looking like themselves, and I think it showed this weekend. I think this weekend you can see that they clearly weren't what they were when they were at Major 1, and obviously I think they can get back to where they were, but it just this stage, they haven't seemed like themselves. But whoa. Sam, we'll
did they
start
play
with,
one series?
That was 4v4?
Yeah, I mean, this whole weekend, I don't think they had one series that was 4v4, bro. They had, Envoy had a 0.5, the Insight had a point. Like, they literally played 3v4 in every series.
Yeah. Envoy and Insight.
Everybody couldn't fry together.
Yeah, I was going to say, Envoy and Insight had a really rough event. But my thoughts just, like, going forward for this team outside of their matches today is, like, this map pool change that we're going to be potentially getting with Vista and what's the other one? Departure potentially coming in. And I don't even know, maybe another map, because I think the season, season 2 is going to end and more maps are going to come into the pool really, really soon, like probably in a couple days. And we have a pretty long break. So I'm curious if they are going to even test even more maps, because there could be a big map pool switch up. I'm hoping for one because I'm tired of seeing Invasion Hardpoint, Invasion Control, all that nonsense. But that's going to be big for these guys because that's been the story for them this entire major split. They just really struggled to find an S&D that they could lean on outside of Karachi, but that didn't bode well with their matchups in the tournament. So we'll see how this that develops for them.
You guys think there'll be a fight between all the teams? Of like map which pool? Maps to take out and put in?
Yeah,
I think there will be. Yeah. I think they'll all agree on Vista. Departures will be a weird one.
I think Vista's in. Vista Hardpoint's coming in. For what map it is, whether it's Subbase or Invasion.
I would say I think the issue is Subbase or Invasion, the politics of that rather than versus Departures and.
That's why I'm praying that there's more maps that come in with the season because there is ample time, so maybe we can test those as well. And then even improve the map pool further. Because I personally think, at least on the hardpoint front, Invasion and Subbase are both fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just going to go. Skid Row is ass, bro.
Like, if you ask Toronto, they're going to want to take out
Skid
Invasion.
Skid Row's not too bad. I don't mind Skid Row that much.
I still think that Skid Row needs a hardpoint movement. I think the spawns got better with the new patch, but the hardpoint, like, positions for at least P2.
I mean, people have been breaking P5, them. I mean, like, people have been breaking P2, bro. People
it's
going
to get worse. With the new patch, like it's gonna be harder to break because you're gonna spawn like super far away. I think there's like a spawn like in P3 now, so you just spawn. It's like the P5 spawn where you spawn by the blue
doors.
You're
just spawning deep as fuck.
Yeah, you spawn deep as fuck. So it's just gonna get even harder.
But yeah. I agree. It's tough, man. Skidwalker used some adjustments, but and we talked a lot. Invasion Hardpoint, dog shit. Subbase, dog shit. So if we can get those both out for the next major, it'll be much better. And I really think you'd hit the hill. The nail on. I don't know how to say the analogy.
The nail in a coffin.
Nail in the coffin.
Nail on the coffin.
I don't know what you're trying to say, but the point is for Toronto, they've lost 6 of the 7 last searches right now. They need to figure out how to find out a bread and butter search, and that's probably the work they're going to do over the next 2 weeks.
How many fucking cucumber margaritas did you have today? Do you have a lot of them?
Like two.
Two of them? Because Jesus Christ. Benji. It's good work, Benji. Sam, what did you think about the series? What'd you think?
I don't look like shit. Other than Scrap, they just had some tough individual performances. Dill had more kills in the control than Jamie had in the series. So it was good to see like a bounce back from Dill, because that's what we were all looking for from yesterday. He had a pretty tough day, but overall, the only person that had a consistent weekend, I would say, is Scrap. Toby had his moments. He played really good pod yesterday, but bro, Scrap is one man army for this team right now. But I mean, we kind of expected this going into the major. They were tapering off online. Their S&D, to Ben's point, looked like complete shit, and they only have Karachi to lean on. And when you're going to play New York, who's the best S&D team right now, it's not really going to bode well. So. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of an expected result, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely a crazy day here. K-Sun just entered the building. He's going nuts. Shout out to K-Sun. He was in the crowd all day today, just going fucking crazy.
No, I heard him on stream battling.
K-Sun, yeah. Someone needs to make a montage of all the shit you said on stream because it was loud and clear.
Yeah, we can hear you like clear as day.
Dude, it was comedy.
I know, it was hilarious.
It's comedy.
But let's lock back in. Let's hop on over and
watch some clips. Yeah.
Take a look at some clips unless you guys have anything else to say.
No, let's go in the clips.
Let's hop in. So we start things off. Over here on a Rio. I just thought this was a really big break here for the New York Subliners. I thought this was an opportunity here for Toronto to soak a lot of time, and you can kind of see how it unfolds. I'm going to have to rewind it back a little bit because they get here fast. They trade this guy out quickly, and they got a good setup here. So after they kill Dante, I'm thinking right here, I just don't know through this rotation what the fuck Toronto's doing on this setup. I don't like this setup. Because Dylan's so far pushed out. I'll just let it play so you guys can see how New York breaks it. And then you guys can give me your thoughts. But this is a hill where I'm thinking Toronto have to set up here and just get an insane hole. And look at the spawns that come in as well here. I was a little confused by the spawns. Do you think it's because number 8 pushed out? That's why they flipped?
Are you talking about where number 3 spawned?
Yeah,
or
look,
because
number 3 spawns out. You see how he spawns out and the split spawns come in? I just wasn't sure if that was because Kleenex was going a little rogue. Or if that was, I'm not even too sure.
When they adjusted, did they think they were spawning on 5? I want to see, because they
Jamie rotates over. He gives up boxes.
So they're going to get this 4 dead, and I think they just.
Jamie just did not.
So number 8 was not, he kind of read it, but everyone else didn't. I think you just have to be careful. Number 5 influences that spawn a lot. A lot of teams will start to push that out, but it's happened in a couple series that we've watched this weekend. Where people get that split spawn, like you can't push past this hill. This is a hill where you have to play a tight setup, otherwise you risk split spawning.
Yeah.
I think it's less likely to split spawn if you're playing it from the other end, though. Like if you're pushing out towards that forklift where number 2 is, or pushing out the garage, and they're spawning towards where Toronto is now, like number 7, number 5. That's like where you're way less likely to flip. But on the other end, it's very scary when you start pushing out P2. Yeah.
Sam, what did you think about this play right here? Dylan Envoy, obviously, with a slow start. He picked it up, though. He started going crazy. But slow start to this Rio. I mean, what did you think there from the setup from Toronto? Because this was a lot of time from New York. They built their lead a lot here. I thought Toronto was going to take the lead here, and it ended up flipping on their heads.
I think this is just a product of, like, the priority spawn thing we talk about a lot. Like, if one spawn's open, if Toronto will get it or not. And then I think it was just good plays on the 1v1s on both sides, to be honest. Like, even though they got the split spawn and it was an ideal situation, I think that Skies really like play the situation properly to set up the break originally. But yeah, this was I think the how this map started, Dill kind of continued his woes from yesterday, and I think that was the reason that this map kind of got out of hand a little bit early here. Thankfully he stepped it up in the control, but it seems like Dill was kind of struggling early here.
Yeah, for sure. And then we go on towards we keep going on in this map. I wanted to tune into the listening from the New York Subliners because I thought it was phenomenal. I thought the listening was insane. So let's tune in and tune into how New York sounded here in the real hard point.
One shot.
Are we running this
play? Close up.
We don't have to play it.
Five minute.
Watch out. There's three.
Okay.
Take your time. Shot.
Did you put that?
She got two.
I'm shifting.
Hold that. Over here.
Nice. She's helping us. I'm stunned for you.
He's on me. You're right side. Close right. Inside.
I'm shifting. Give me a kiss.
And that's going to do it for the listening for the New York Subliners. What did you guys think?
They were locked in.
Got me bricked, bro.
Yeah.
Like there were a couple really key moments in that. Paco like stress calming that there were four hitting through old, so they didn't have to pick up pinch.
Yeah.
Dante telling kids to fill mid off spawn, like he ends up picking it up. Like Caesar calling spawns at all times. Like that was fucking perfect.
Just the small talk is what impressed me the most with them.
Yeah.
You could just tell they were all on the same page, and then not too much to see here other than Scrap just completely frying. Jesus. I just wanted to show why this map was even close, and it was basically just because Scrappy goes fucking insane. I mean, he's 34 and 25
that
right now.
That guy's undeniable, bro. With any gun he uses, it's any actually gun. Impressive.
He's permanent 30 on this map.
Yeah. And unfortunately, his teammates were all negative in this one, so Scrappy needed some help here. But, of course, the first map goes to the New York Subliners. Scrappy doing everything he can, but at the end of the day, it just wasn't enough from them. And then we go into the S&D, I believe. Let's see what I got here next. Yeah, then we go into the S&D. Something I wanted to show everybody back at home, wanted to educate some people. I didn't know about this wall bank spot, but this is insane from Paco. I've never seen anything like this. Just to take a look at how New York is playing these games, they seem so prepared, and this wasn't the only thing that I was like going crazy about. Even the grenades that they threw with the, what's the name of that perk? What's the name of that
ordnance.
The ordnance. So this is Paco wallbanging Kleenex off the rib, going up the ladder. Kleenex probably would have survived if he kept going up, but he jumped back down. I don't know if he panicked or something. I don't know what happened. He might have panicked and jumped off. But a crazy wallbang there. But what's going on with Paco and his wallbangs? What, it's just practice, huh? Practice makes perfect?
Yeah, New York were saving these. Is nerds, man. I love it.
Nerds.
I mean, they were showing they were nerdy last year off the rip. Like, this has been their MO for a minute, but they definitely whipped out a lot of new stuff here on the weekend.
Yeah, and then this is the round 11 here. I'm just going to let it play out, but I just wanted to ask you guys what you guys think. Personally, I think Toronto Ultra just did the do nothing. It just takes them so long to actually think about what they want to do and where they want to go. And right here, it just seemed like Toronto Ultra, they were indecisive. I don't know if it was because it was round 11 or maybe because Kismet was here. Maybe they were scared of him. I don't think they knew he was here initially, but I know the door cracks open. What were you saying about the door, by the way?
So this is just a tip. But basically, whenever you crack a door open on COD, if you run away from the door, it'll auto-close. But if the door never closes, that means the player is in close proximity to it. And they could have basically figured out that Kismet was still in this room.
I even know that.
Yeah, I'm a nerd.
If you crack the door open and run away, the door will auto-close. But look at the play that Toronto makes. The time is clicking now. You got under 30 seconds now to try and make a play because they waited so long to just make something happen. Then they try and get onto the bomb, and there's really nothing for them to do. Dante's able to find two from top AC, and then they just get funneled in like 5 seconds as soon as they try and make the play. I mean, New York was just prepared for it. What did you guys think about the strat call there from Toronto?
I think Kismet even said it in his interview that they kind of know how they like to play, and they know that a lot of the time Kleenex will lurk red by himself. And if Kleenex is still red, to watch B until they overcommit A side because they don't want to get caught off guard with a split strat, and they basically read it. So
yeah,
good plays out of them.
That was good plays from New York. I mean, this one goes all the way down to around 11. They were able to close it out. I just wish Toronto would have made just a more decisive play because they just seemed like they were a little confused.
Yeah, the do nothing only works when you have bomb down or you're on defense.
I mean, do nothing definitely doesn't work when New York knows, you know, if Toby goes somewhere, the other guys are going to be somewhere, and they got a harder read on what you're going
to
do.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree. And then we hop into the control, and honestly, this was just a play that I thought New York messed up here, man. I thought they messed up. I think this was the play. Was this the play from Dante? So you can see the kills come in from New York. Actually, no, they actually win this. I'm thinking of another series. Sorry, this is where they go crazy. What do you guys think about Toronto's setup here? Because New York ended up wiping them and getting on to this point. It doesn't look like they're filling in left, but they do lose a lot of points.
Well, back up,
or a
back
lot
up to
of time.
The beginning of this clip.
I do want to say one thing. Paco is always finding his way onto this point. I mean, he is always on here. I don't know how he's able to find these gaps. I feel like he just has really good timings, and he just knows when he's able to sneak in there. And the fact that he's able to get in here, stop the clock, and find some kills, I mean, you could just see how talented he really is. But when it comes for Toronto, I just think these players off spawn need to go left. Go left, like fill in left. I just feel like right is so pointless right now when you have somebody pushing through the front of your point, and then you can see how Paco is able to get in there and make a play. I mean, Sam, I'll start with you. I mean, did you think Toronto fucked up here, or do you think Paco just made the play and just got in there?
I think it's a combination of Jamie kind of selling the first kill right there when he jumped at him, but Kiz gets an unbelievable two-piece to get, like, middle map control. But defense and or offense on this map is all about like dragging arrows around. Yeah. And to your point, Tom, that's why I think New York is good at offense on this map, because Paco's knows those timings to push up A Street based on like spawns or callouts or whatever.
Right.
And if you can move the defensive setup on this map, that's where you get your offensive wins. And I think Paco is a real mastery of that at this point.
Yeah, and then also something to note on this last round here, in this 2-2 round, Toronto had 3 kill streaks going into this round. 3 cruise missiles, and they still lose the round. I mean, why do you think that is? I feel like, if anything, you use one of the streaks when they're pushing through front. Maybe they burned them away. I mean, what do you think happened here? Like, how do you lose with 3 streaks?
I think it's you have so many advantages, and you're already on defense that, like, you – I almost think people that – we talk about on the watch party a lot, people that get defense round 5 play so differently because it's an expected win. So they almost play less, like, aggressive and less confident because they don't want to sell away their advantage. And I think, whereas on the opposite side, when you're round 5 offense, that's when you have to take risks and, like, kind of overchow or, like, try to take a different timing.
Yeah.
And I think that those two in combination with each other lead to a lot of those crazy round 5 offensive wins that we see.
Yeah. Agreed. And then, I mean, guys, I just asked you, is there any other thoughts on the match or on the series? I thought New York came out and took care of business. I mean, it was obviously a close series, but they do get the 3-0 victory. I mean, Pat, we'll go with you. Any final thoughts?
No, New York looked good. I mean, like I've been saying, those guys are godlike. I'm glad that they didn't have any blunders this event. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next major.
Yeah, I know you had these guys winning it all. Pat, what was one thing that you think really stood out? I mean, besides for, like, the .8s, you know, or do you think that was the main problem?
I mean, bro, if you show up to an event and you got one person in every series getting, like, shit on, it wasn't like they just played average. Like, Envoy literally, I don't know if you saw, there was a post. Envoy had, like, one of the worst hardpoint days on Saturday that I think I've ever seen from any player. It was, like, he legit had 4 or 5 hardpoints and had, like, a .5. Over 4 or 5 hard points. Like, that's insane.
I was going to say, bring up his control KD. So he had a 1.5 here, but in the overall series, like, he still had a 1.0. He had a great map. They obviously weren't able to win it. But, like, the fact that he had a 1.0 where a map that he dropped, like, 40 kills on is, like, he obviously struggled. Yeah, he had one good map. But, like, Insight and him in general this tournament were just not themselves. They didn't play good.
Agreed. But
just going back to online, man, like, we said, like, we were talking about testing map pool. We're talking about, like, them just giving out wins for free.
They,
like,
were struggling, bro. They were struggling.
Dude, I said that if you're going to give these teams confidence
in the game,
I mean, that's fine. But I said it on the show fucking weeks ago, bro. If you're just going to hand out free confidence to all your counterparts in the top 4, guess who made it to the final? Not you.
And
you
know, I don't think confidence is why they lost, though. I mean, they literally got shit on. Like,
it's not about them losing; it's about the other teams playing better.
I think you could argue that
they lost. They barely lost every series. They have 2 guys dropping a .5. You're never winning.
I think that you could argue that their hard point and, like, control and stuff like that, they were probably testing. Like, they were testing the waters on the maps. They could play the top teams. And when it came to their search and destroy, like, there was no contest. Like, they just weren't. They didn't have a second leg to stand on. They had one Karachi, and that map just does not match up well against the people they lost to.
Listen, I'll say this, and you guys know this, bro. If you win that first event and you're ahead, everybody's watching your VOD, everybody's catching up, and then it's up to you.
It's hard
to stay ahead, stay around the pack. And unfortunately for Toronto in this stage, they lost to FaZe once, they lost to Optic twice, and in the series we talked about, they lost to New York. They got to figure out how to not be the 4th best team right now.
Yeah, let's move on to the next series. Obviously, New York take down Toronto Ultra. Toronto Ultra ended up getting top 4, so they get 4th place here at Major 2. Let's hop into the winner's final. We have Optic Texas going up against Atlanta FaZe, and Atlanta FaZe get the 3-1 victory over here against Optic. We'll take a look here at the stats.
Jesus fucking Christ.
We see a jump scare here. It's a red carpet.
Bro, it's so funny that I hear it before it pulls up on stream.
Superstars? We're calling them superstars?
All right, Pat, go ahead. You take the floor first. What did you think about the series? Atlanta FaZe got a 3-1 victory here.
I thought it was an Atlanta FaZe masterclass, Tom. I know the maps were close.
They were close, Pat. They were close. Like, it was a stressful series.
It was close. I mean, Optic played it well, Tom, but usually the less talented team gets outslayed and plays it close. But Atlanta FaZe was gunning them.
They were gunning,
like,
today.
Nonstop.
Sure.
It was a skill diff. I think Optic might have played better COD. No bullshit. But
they
think Atlanta FaZe
really
was just a skill diff. They literally were shooting. Look, we got a red carpet on the Optic side.
I think that's almost more impressive that these maps were, that they were 13-point hardpoint wins. Look at the fucking scoreboard, dude.
They were just smoking them in gunfights. They couldn't gun to them. They couldn't go head to head.
I will say that on the optic front, they turned up on the later half of like both HPs to make them close. The control was not that close, or it wasn't that close at all. But I mean, I think like the one thing you can tip here about Optic, regardless if they lost the series and just in general with the stage, is their teamwork has been elevated a metric fuck ton, because this is not even just this series, like the entire time in their major split when they went undefeated, they were winning maps series while getting outslayed. That's why I put them like so heavily high up on that teamwork ladder, because they just look like a completely different Optic than they'd have the last couple years. They just got to find a way to,
you know,
kind of
remind me
back.
Of TK.
Like TK,
what era?
Yeah.
TK, all of them.
Like Ghost and BO2 TK.
So sharp.
They had great
sharp.
Teamwork. They played great. They played fundamental COD. They won S&Ds, but versus the best of the best, they just couldn't. They couldn't hang in the gunfights. And that
I mean
that
they
was,
beat New York
that was
and Toronto.
TK.
I think,
but that I'm talking about the best of the best, like the number one, the Atlanta FaZe.
I just think what FaZe does a good job in these matchups against Optic this season. They just don't. They just neutralize like a lot of the individual playmaking of players like Predinant. They just don't lose people on the map. They do a good job when they know that those guys are last alive to stick together and force trades and not let, you know, Ant make fucking TikTok plays on the map. I also think that Bruce has had a tough time in all of these series, and it is very tricky when your main hero is holding down lanes and not winning those gunfights.
I really think it just came off to it came out to the start of the maps. Like the first rotation of both of these Karachis were like, or not Karachis, but at least the first hard point for sure was literally all Atlanta FaZe. They would just start off way too fucking slow, and Atlanta FaZe just built a lead that they basically just maintained throughout the entire game until they finally pulled away. But like, dude, their teamwork, at least on the first half of these maps, were absurd. Like they were like always together. Every kill was like immediately traded. They were doing a lot of like these Eiffel Tower setups where they would just like stack a lane. And it was working out like perfectly off the rip. I thought the first map was going to be a blowout, and then Optic started to battle back. But I mean,
was the Tyler Abizi fucking masterclass in this series? Was that the game four? Right?
That was the game four. Yeah, absolutely world.
Chat. I don't know if you guys saw my tweet or not. So it was a relatively close game going into the last P4 of the Karachi. Tyler had 16 kills. There were three more hills in that game, and he ended with 32. He went from P4 to P1, getting 16 kills, and just completely took over.
Draza got a little response here for Scrap. Scrappy responded to, what is this, the interview? Draza calling out Optic and Scrap in his interview.
And we'll watch that clip later, obviously.
And then Scrappy tweeted at Adam, or tweeted at the clip, and said, rent free. And then Draza said, wish I could have played you, but you were too busy dabbing up Dashy after you got slammed. Which team you on? So Draza's on demon time.
Dude,
right
Zach
now.
Is a
I can't lie, Zach's
kind of
cooking.
He's cooking, bro. He's on demon
Zach's
time right now. He's going fucking
Zach,
nuts.
Zach was Ego Chell on the map, and now he's Ego Chell on Twitter. Like,
oh, my
you know.
God.
He's going nuts. Any other thoughts on the series before we hop into some clips from the first set?
I will say this. I was actually, you guys know, I've been critical about Optic's S&E map pull, and we'll get to sort of the other series as well, but I thought they actually played the terminal really well. Did some good adjustments, some other players.
They played good S&D
maps.
Today.
Yeah,
they beat New York on both S&Ds, and New York is a really heavy S&D team. And
they won
here
2 round 11 against FaZe.
The building blocks is there for Optic to have an edge in this matchup in one of these, but the respawns have been real tough from a slang standpoint.
Yeah, agreed. But let's move on to some clips and see what's going on here, folks. Let's hop into the first map. This was FaZe versus Optic. And I just like the play here from Ant. You can see Ant. He's coming off through court here, and he's able to make the play here, and this is able to help them try and win this this game here. So it starts things off. One invasion. Let me scroll up. This was a weird spawn here. So MC ends up spawning fucking behind people here, and I don't know how. Now, we kind of wanted to slow it back, and I mean, guys, I just really hope we never see this fucking map ever again. Sorry, everyone. It's right here. So I'm going to pause it as soon as he spawns. But bang, right there. How the fuck does he spawn right behind Optic Texas here on a pinch? Is it like, how does that happen?
Game sucks.
Yeah, game sucks.
It just sucks, right? I didn't know if maybe because AG was pushed up, but I doubt it. I mean, he spawns in between the Optic players. He spawns right in between. And this ends up helping him because he gets him off the hill here. MC, he comes off spawn, and he was able to put some shots down and kill Shotzi off the point. So Shotzi goes down, three go dead. And Optic did a good job, though. They get right back in here. They get the trades. It didn't really affect too much, but I just didn't know if you guys had an answer to that spawn.
Yeah, it has to be something to do with where AG is and the timing of phase of spawns. Would be the only thing that could impact, in my opinion.
Yeah,
or it's just completely random. This game is shit, which is also a very viable option.
I think I have an explanation, but I would have to draw it out. You wouldn't understand it if I was just talking about it. But mm-hmm. I think, to summarize, it's that when the hill is white, I think it has a bigger upweighting on nearby spawns than enemy downweights do. Right. So like the way spawns work is enemies downweight the spawns that are around the map. Okay.
What
like,
does downweight
where
mean,
they are.
Pat? What does that mean? Like downweight?
Deprioritized. So, like, okay. If every basically assign a number to every spawn point on the map, they all start at, let's say, zero. If an enemy's nearby, it could drop to like -50, right? Like, that would be the downweight for the enemy, depending on the distance they are from that spawn. And I think why we see so many inconsistencies with white hills is I think what they've done is that when the hill is white, it has a different weighting for spawns than it does for when either team owns it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think what happens is because that spawn is one of the closest to the hills. The enemy that downweights the spawn isn't downweighting it enough that the neutral objective is upweighting it. And I think that's why they're getting those like really close spawns. It goes back to the point where white hills, enemy-owned hills, ally-owned hills, it shouldn't have a different weighting.
Spawn,
and I think that's why we see so much inconsistency. I would have to like draw it out for you to kind of explain it better, but I think that's what's occurring.
It could just be like a thing for like, it's like a casual thing where it's like, oh, the game wants you to get into the game quicker. So like, it's just mm-hmm. giving you a closer spawn.
And then there were some other weird spawns here as well. First, I do want to tune in to the Etsy. Now, this is kind of where it did happen. I'm pretty sure it was here. Yeah. Okay, so this is where some more weird spawns come in. So FaZe, they're trying to get to that next hard point, and you can see MC. He's getting there early, and MC gets a lot of kills here. But I just don't understand how Optic's spawning on top of MC here. Like, shouldn't they be spawning out Palace?
Nah.
But instead, FaZe is getting those spawns.
I mean, the spawn block on this hill, because the courtyard hill is up, is mannequin.
And there were two spawns that came up Palace. FaZe and Optic were spawning Palace but right before this happened. So I'll rewind it back. Later, brother. Later, Kason. I'll rewind it back, and you can kind of see how it unfolds. Like, I'm thinking right here. So two players come off spawn.
That's
because
number five is blocking mannequin when they do, and then once he dies, that spawn
it's
gets opened again. Because yeah, the two spawns on this are the three spawns. There's one like where Optic is in Palace now, and then there's mm-hmm. one towards where FaZe is, and then the other spawn for the spawn out is mannequin.
Yeah.
So
it was being blocked, and then those players spawned Palace, and then once he died, it opened it up. I definitely see it now. I thought. Watching it back, I was like, MC's staying alive. He's getting so many kills, but these spawns aren't flipping.
Yeah.
But it was good plays by Optic to secure those spawns and hold on. MC almost did it by himself, holding those spawns there. And
Optic played around the situation really, really well.
They were
kind of like, MC was getting kills, making plays, but Optic was soaking time that entire sequence, which was really good by
them. Which, honestly, P3 and P5, I feel like, is the only hill on this map where you can really soak some time. Like, it's so hard. This is why we always see this map just go down to the time limit. It just always collapses. It's just a lot different now, I'll be honest. This map is not played like it used to be. And I think it's dog shit. It needs to be removed immediately. But let's move on to the next clip. Then this is the ending of the game, which can we have had a better ending, guys? I mean, seriously, could we have had a better ending than this?
I mentioned the game clock on P1. We got to P4.
Bro, that's actually insane. We were
this
like,
was a third set of hard points, and this was a third set. And look how it's 237 to 230 in favor of Optic. Now FaZe, they're diving into the point. I thought Sint made a great play challenging this guy here, Ace and D. And then he just stays alive just enough to buy some time for his teammates. If Simp would have died there, I think it would have looked a lot different if he would have died right there.
Impenetrable motorcycle.
Ah, the fucking motorcycle protected Simp for a second.
But you can shoot through the building next to it.
The logic there
is great. We'll get there with the Paco clip. Dog him shooting through. Actually, no, I don't know if I had. He didn't do that today. But I was just saying, he fucking shot through that whole building. Kason, you can see Kason going fucking nuts in the crowd. What an ending there. Just wanted to replay the ending because it was just so mixy and... I mean, I don't know if there's anything you guys saw there that you caught. I mean, I felt like Optic was in do or die situation, and FaZe just won the fight.
I think the main gripe I had was the P2 rotation. Optic was in like a really good spot, and they had streaks to use. And I think they kind of mishandled the situation when they could have got like a really good P2 setup. I think when Brandon was pushed out broken, I think they had a timing streak there that I don't think they took advantage of.
Yeah, and I know even right here we were kind of debating like whether or not we think they should have hopped out here and maybe get that timer down a little bit. But they were in a weird spot. I mean, I probably would have got the time here, and I actually probably would have got the
time
as well.
It's such a weird situation. Like, you would love if someone had the heads up to, like, pinch all the way around dark and do some bullshit.
This was
like,
the biggest win right here.
But this is such a weird...
It's right here.
Weird 50-50 thing that doesn't happen too often on this match.
The fact that he's able to stay alive, I just think Simcoe's fucking huge and just wins him the game. It was
a good
place. I
can't believe he ate another bullet right there.
Yeah,
that's insane.
He's just tanking, bro.
I think Zach probably still gets in the hill. Like, I think FaZe probably still win this.
Maybe, because you got to think Optic spawning powers. They're looking over it. Like, it's tough. Like, I thought Sim clutched the fuck up right there. If Sim didn't make that play, it would have been close. It could have gone either way. But and then we hop over to the S&D. This is the 4-3 round. The reason why I brought this round up is because Optic keep doing this against Atlanta FaZe, and they couldn't stop it. They can't stop the Esky push. And I was thinking, by this point in the game, I'm thinking that FaZe got to be stacking this, bro. Like, they keep going Esky, and they keep getting that B-bomb down. I was thinking FaZe can just give up plane, start stacking B in mid-hall, and just if they go plane, just retake it with your tax and call it a fucking day. But I'm just going to play it out and show you guys how Optic was able to do. And it always starts with Shotzi, just getting fucking twisted over here on these planners and going rogue. He pushes FaZe back, and he instantly goes for that bomb plant. It was a really good play here from Ant and Dashy to just get that aggression, take the space, and get the bomb down. I just guess I'll ask you guys, what do you think FaZe should do to stop an Esky push like this? Because I feel like they got to stack. They got to adapt, which they ended up doing as the game went on. But I thought it was too late here. I thought they should have adapted quicker. But what do you guys think?
I mean, I personally just think, at least in this situation specifically, they had a guy pin golf cart. So they could have like probably used a little bit of small talk and tried to like activate on it. Maybe bait out the guy on the right that was always in the open. Like, he had no choice but to watch over his teammate and then like pounce on the guy on the left. I mean, once that guy's kind of like... They're most exposed when they're still on that old P1, but as soon as you let them get onto your escalators, they had no choice but to back down. I don't know. I think they were just kind of like scared. They didn't want to give them a pick, and they probably.
And I do like the strat from Optic. The one thing I do like about Optic strats, they get aggressive, they're decisive on B, but they also have people playing late flanks. Like they're kind of like they're around Dreams or around Terminal, just playing lurks. I don't think AG need to make a move just yet. But it doesn't really matter. They have the bomb down. The trades come in, and the last guy's up is MC. And
another thing they could
up.
Do is like so. Unless a team takes both their trophy players over to that site, which sometimes that's something that people don't use foresight with, is save their grenades and use it to retake close, because most people will trophy the backside, you know, to cover the initial push, but then they won't have one for the site or like around escalators. So there's like, you know, there's a couple ways you could play it.
And then we hop over to the round 11, and I just wanted to break it down. We could take a look at it and kind of see what's going on.
Dude,
I mean,
Ant's play is insane.
I thought Ant's play was fucking incredible right here. I mean, it was just the risk that he took.
I thought he got off the bomb. I was like, oh my God, he's fucking griefing. Yeah. And then.
Well, I think
I
got off the bomb because they get blood. Like, somebody dies.
Nobody died.
Yeah, he did get off
that's
the bomb.
What I'm saying. When he got off, I was like, oh my God, they're
I think number three or number one saw that this guy, number six, ran out of white, maybe. And they were just scared.
He thought he was going to die from mid-hole.
He thought he was going to die from mid-hole.
Yeah, but he makes a good play. Even with the bomb, he's got that confidence to just hit that guy out and get the kill. It was a good play from him. And they make it a 3v2 situation. Bomb goes down yet again. And Atlanta FaZe are just kind of in a tough spot here. And, I mean, what plays it yet again? It's the Esky rush. I mean, this was the bread and butter for Optic in this map. They just kept hitting Esky, and Atlanta FaZe didn't have an answer for it. So good play calls from Optic. And if you're Atlanta FaZe, you got to find out a way to counter that and stop that push, because they were having a hard time with it. But... let's move on to the next clip, unless you guys got anything else to say on that round 11.
No, I just love the way Optic plays their offenses on that map. We talk about it a lot, like late playing through Dreams and late playing the right side of the map when you're going B, and I think Optic's really the first team that we've seen like prioritize that style of gameplay, so
yeah.
I think it panned out well for them.
And they're listening?
What's up?
They listening?
Oh, you're saying they're listening? Yeah, I mean, we talk about it a lot, and they're the first team we've seen actually fucking do it. So
I don't know
why. Maybe they watch the flank.
I mean, JP's
maybe they're watching the flank.
They're watching the flank.
I mean, JP's in the chat all the time. So, you know,
I also want to tip something that I saw quite a few teams do today, even like the finals, is on that terminal S&D, there was or not in the finals, but in that winner's finals, there was times where people were on their defenses when they didn't see anybody escalators. They were pushing through towards Burger and like flanking back book, and they were catching a lot of people off guard, because most of the time people are kind of scared to hit that pinch because I don't know, it just seems kind of outrageous. But I think like when you read a lot of these team setups, like Simp kept doing it. Simp kept late playing inside book And just watching that cross, I think it's just like very favorable when you do push that out, because you're going to catch that guy off guard a lot of the time.
Yeah, somebody want me to go back and show AG fucking staring down MC, which I think is hilarious. I mean, there was definitely a lot of banter and a lot of shit talk going on in this series. I mean, if you guys really want to see it, yeah, I'll rewind it back for you guys so you could take a look at AG going fucking nuts. But there was...
Dude, I think FaZe started out up 3-0. MC then shot someone's body and they lost four straight. I think MC lost like 3 1v1s in this map or something.
Yeah, he did. He shot... I mean, to be fair, MC's been shooting bodies all weekend, no matter who he's playing. And I'm happy that the stigma is fucking gone, because he's been shooting bodies all weekend and they won the event. So I'm happy that fucking stigma's gone. And we'll take a look here at the final round here so you guys can see... the stare down, just in case you guys missed it. But I mean, Pred, I will say one thing about AG. His energy on stage is phenomenal. I mean, when you have a teammate like that, that gets so hyped and has so much energy and has that passion, you know what I mean? It helps out a lot. It goes a long way.
His listens, they gassed me up, bro. When he would get like kills, he was going insane.
Yeah, and you can see him on stage now. He's just staring over at the Atlanta FaZe guys. Look at him. He's staring them down. And then they ended up losing in the next map. This was actually a really big map. I think it was Nameless who was saying that the control was going to be a swing mode in this one. I actually think he was right. I think the swing mode was definitely in the control.
The one thing Anthony wrote about FaZe the last couple of weeks.
But I like that from AG, man. I like AG getting chirpy and staring down and fucking getting active in the shit talk. I love to see that. I love that everybody was getting involved this weekend, at least with the top four teams. I feel like all the top four, between Scrap and Draws and AG and MC, they all got involved a little bit.
We're getting back to the roots of the interaction.
We're getting back, guys. We're getting back, and I love it. And then we get into the control. Now, take a look at MC at the start of this round. He does not move from the back of the map here. At the start of the round here, he just holds this. Look, I'll even play it out from the get-go. And this ends up winning Atlanta FaZe. The offense. You can see how it kind of plays out. MC, MC's just waiting for a straggler. You know, I think FaZe is just all going B, acting as decoys. And then MC here is just going to look for a straggler, try and get a pick, and then try and progress up that A streak. And you can kind of see how it ends up happening, because Optic, they get the kills B. And then MC, you can see the close spawns come in from Atlanta FaZe, because everybody from Optic drifted over towards B. Atlanta FaZe got those close A spawns. They hit the point, and they instantly cap A here. It was a really good strat, a really good play call there from Atlanta FaZe. Sam, I think it was you who called it out in the watch party that he was waiting there all day. If you're Optic, I mean, how do you stop that? Because that close A spawn, you got to be really, really careful giving up the left side of the map.
You also have to
count players.
You also have to count the players on the cross initially. Yeah. But one thing that FaZe did well, and you actually see it too, so they were prepared for other things too. Like, they didn't just rely on MC. So they triple crossed, right? And one of them stayed mid tank. He stayed mid tank and was watching freezer door and like waiting for an overextension through mid. So only two people actually got to B. And you'll actually see this guy, he just gives it up right there, but you'll see he was there for a while. So they were kind of preparing to see if they would bait Optic into like a rotation and then kill them and then go. So, I mean, that's just good mind games,
to
be honest.
Yeah, it's good mind games, and it's just a good play call. I don't know who made the play call. I'm sure it was practiced, but just really like the way they broke off that invasion control, that offense, because that offense wins them the map. They end up winning the map 3-1 because of that offense. So really, really good plays from Atlanta FaZe. Anything else on that play before we move on to the next one? Because the next one is pretty much just a highlight reel here. This is the Abizi show, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what the hell he ate today, but this motherfucker was shooting. I just want to show this highlight, because if he didn't do this, I don't think they win this map. I'm going to be honest. I don't think if Abizi doesn't make these plays, I don't see FaZe winning this map. And I think that just shows the individual skill from these guys. They can kind of kick up at any moment. Simp has been going off all weekend. Draws and Selim as well, and Abizi, he kicks the fuck up here. He ends up getting a big streak here, jumps out, finds another two-piece, and he continues to keep this spree going as well. And this is kind of what mounts the comeback, because look at how far back Abizi pushes Optic just by staying alive and being a nuisance here. He just keeps winning fight after fight, and Optic can't track him. I don't know why this guy. I don't know why Shotzi didn't go bottom greed and trade him. Because if you don't kill Ibizzi, you got to kill him. He almost got this kill here at the end, too.
That would have been insane.
But you can see how FaZe was just able to mount the comeback here off the play from Ibizzi. If he didn't make that play, I just don't see them winning this map. It was just a great individual skill there. And then as we go towards the end of this one, it goes all the way back to a P1. And it was actually FaZe who ended up breaking in. Now, what do you think about the optic setup here in the P1? So you can take a look here. I'll rewind it back a little bit so you guys see how it set us. But it's FaZe who's coming from Chicken Coop. And you have Optic who are coming from Red. I mean, well, if you guys are in this situation, what would you guys do
back
here?
Back up real quick. So Anwen's playing a corner. Bruce is playing a corner, gets caught. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Optic Texas here, what would you have done differently here on the setup? Or was it just good plays from FaZe? I mean, I'll let it play out. Shotzi was able to win the one-on-one on Hill. He gets down, and you can see Zach. He just gets into green, and Ibizzi has that streak. Again, if he doesn't make that play, I don't know what happened here. Ibizzi hit the ball. How the fuck does Shotzi survive this cruise missile? I lost my shit when I saw this. What is going on here? I said, what the fuck? I don't even know how this thing came. Look at the explosions on his fucking head.
Brick wall greater than.
Yeah, I think he just probably was the shots he's laying down behind the wall, and the missile probably landed on the other side of the wall, and it didn't kill him, which is fucking insane.
I think the key thing with the setup, and we see Optic when they play a lot of the top teams too, like they just actually, I take that back. I mean, they run through bottom church, and Chris gets two kills.
You just give yourself so many more options coming from top three in the market side of the map. Yeah. Like, you can play through green, you can play through top AC to kill the guy off the hill, you can play through mid-cut, like, there's just... Yeah. So many more options that FaZe have, especially compounded with the streak. So I think that because they got the market spawn when the hill broke, they just, like I said, Zach just ran through the street, got bottom green for free, ended up getting kills for it.
Yeah, and then Sim pushing out Satellite was such a good play. He pushes out Satellite. He's able to get behind them, and he just gets into their spawn. And even worst case scenario, say Optic does get a contest there, Sim has the rotation. So it was just a really good route from Chris. He pretty much calls game there. So good job from Sim. He was going off all weekend long. Any final thoughts on that map, gentlemen?
Not on that map, but Tom, I made a quick little 5-minute paint thing if you want me to explain what I was talking about earlier. I just share my screen. Yeah, I'll take over my cam.
Yeah, if you want to share your screen.
Bang. Can you see me?
Yeah, I see you. So explain that, Slay.
So yeah, so let's obviously this is super oversimplified, right? So red team, blue team, and this is the white occupy hardpoint volume. And so distance-wise, let's say this spawn, right? Let's say this is one of the weird spawns that the player got, is the closest to the point. Mm-hmm. And so what I was trying to explain earlier is, like, you have basically
normal
line graph. Yeah. So, like, you have the weighting and you have the distance. So this would be the hard point. And so let's say all these green circles are spawns, right? And they all have a value of, let's say, 0. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the hard point will change that value up or down based on, you know, whichever things are occurring.
Right.
And so in this case, I'm thinking, like, if the point is white, then it's assigning, like, this weight, right, where you have, like, plus 60 out to 10 meters, and then it falls off over distance.
Yeah.
And so, like, in this case, let's say this is 10 meters. So let's say 10 here. Mm-hmm. And so this point right here would get that maximum 60. And then you look at, like, the enemy weighting, and let's say an enemy would then downweight the same spawn by 40. And so you'd still have a net value of 20 on that one spawn that we're talking about here because it's based on distance. And so that, I think, is why, like, when the hill goes white, you see players getting weird spawns because the value assigned is much higher than it should be, because this should be the same and it should be much lower. But I think, like, in this, what we're talking about, modern COD, where they're trying to make engagements very fast, I think they're trying to spawn players closer to the point. I think that's why you see a lot of these weird spawn scenarios when the hills go white, because this amount changes. Like, this would be the
thank you for the
objective, if it's being contested, like, shouldn't wait on where you spawn, basically.
Yeah, it should be the same whether it's White Hill or you own it or I own it, whatever.
Yeah.
W diagram out of Pat.
It's a W diagram. Thank you for bringing that down, Pat, for the viewers. That was phenomenal.
I got you.
As you know, Pat's in development with X-Define and everything, so he knows a lot about this stuff. But
one of the many theories as to why the spawns are dog shit in this game.
Yeah. But I think the problem, though, really is that because they go year to year, and, you know, so many developers change hands and it's not the same designers that have been there, whatever. Like, I think that's why the spawns feel so different every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's hop into the next series. Optic Texas obviously falls short to Atlanta Phase 3-1, and then they hop in to the loser's bracket, the loser's final, to go up against the New York Subliners. Optic Texas get the 3-1 victory over New York here. We'll take a look here at the stat sheet. Definitely Optic outslaying them here throughout the series. I mean, Sam, we'll start with you. Optic Texas, they get a 3-1 victory over New York to meet FaZe back into the grand final. What did you think about the series?
I was shocked to see New York picking Karachi against Optic, which we'll see the reasoning for why shortly. But the rest of the maps I thought were really, really good for Optic. Undefeated on sub base, won it relatively comfortably. The invasion control, yet again, I've said they're the best invasion control team. Their offenses are fucking unbelievable, and I don't really think that they mess them up very often, barring some crazy spawn stuff. But once I saw the map set, I was pretty confident that it would be an Optic win, and sure enough, it was.
Yeah,
Optic really outclassed them in all the respawns.
It was a Pred and Shotzi masterclass in the map one. We'll take a look at the stats. 1.8 from AG in the map one, 1.2 from Shotzi. They were just making plays all over the map. The sub base was clinical from them. Dante definitely needed some help. I mean, they were all kind of around the same spot. They were just struggling. New York was struggling in that map. They got slammed in the map one.
Optic was front running super well.
Yeah, they did a good job staying ahead of the game. But Ben, what did you think about the series?
I mean, again, I think Optic had a pretty good masterclass in the respawn, especially the first two maps. I think to your point, the subs fried. And I think, fortunately for New York, you know, this wasn't Kismet's best weekend. Paco had an off series, as Sam alluded to. You know, New York has Rio S&D as an auto veto, so Karachi S&D was going to end up in this one. I thought that Optic would pick it, so in this case, with them, you know, being Team A, you'd get that map five, but New York with the Team B pick, and then we'll get into clips some excellent strats they put in, some nerdy stuff they did to win that map.
Yeah, Pat, what did you think about the series?
I thought it was a good series, but I know we talked about it a little bit during the watch party, but I can't help but feel like Kiz is a lot more inconsistent on this game than he was last year. Like last year, we were talking about like 99 Bulldog. Like he was having himself maps and series and winning his team games, obviously along with Hydra. But I feel like in this game, I don't know why. And obviously I think it goes back to the maps because it's not just him as a faster paced sub this happens to. But I feel like his consistency level is a lot different. I think that's really hurting this New York squad.
Yeah, you see different glimpses of it, though. Like, he's still really good at this game. Like, Kismet's insane.
Oh, it's not like he's not a star.
Yeah, no, he's really good at this game. There is some inconsistency problems, but I feel like it's with the squad. I feel like the squad itself is inconsistent. I wouldn't really say it's Kismet. I think it's all of them. It's just some series they come out and they just look a little flat. They're definitely prepared in their searches. I'll tell you that with the wall bangs and the nades. I'll definitely doing tell you homework. That, but they're doing their homework for sure. And I'll show you guys some clips, but I definitely think in the respawn sometimes they just look a little discombobulated.
I think they're, you know, this is a bit of a wild stat. I mean, they are, if they win game once, they are 10-1. They lose and they're 5-5. Getting that early momentum is key because such a good search team in this game. They lose the first map and then doors are wide open.
Yeah. I almost want to say I want to see him slow it down. Like, does anyone disagree with that? Like,
I mean, probably even, just with the style.
I mean, even though when he does good, he'll have like 110 deaths. Even though he has like 90 kills, like he obviously gets his kills, but I feel like he's just playing a little too fast.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I have a take, and I want y'all's opinion on it. I think him and Dill are both like really good envoy. Are both like really good. Superstar compliments, right? Like Dill plays off of Toby and Kiz plays off of Hydra. And I think because of the way that they are trying to like gap fill and like make the right play every time off spawn and like kind of help their main slayer like do their job to make sure that like Paco is frying or Toby is playing well, I think it almost like impacts their gameplay in a way that like lends to these super insane engagements that Pat's talking about. So like when Kiz is trying to run around the map and help out his team, same with Envoy, like it leads to these super inconsistent series. And I think that they need to play almost a little bit more selfish slow down to what Pat was saying.
I mean, that's just like something that I've noticed as well. I was going to point that out before Pat did, that Kismet's just kind of been inconsistent in this game. And I think he just needs to step it up for this roster. But at the end of the day, like, I said this before, I split these top four teams up into the Slay heavy teams and the teamwork heavy teams, and Optic and New York are both on the teamwork heavy side. I think they definitely have like slayers on their team, but more often than not, when they play these like slay heavy teams, you're not really seeing them like go rogue, right? At least Toronto before the major was like a super slay heavy team. You obviously saw them come out here and kind of have some of their players be flat, but for the most part, like, they just got to step it up in the slaying category because they have the teamwork. Like, I think New York plays like really good structured Call of Duty, and Optic even has started to play like way better using teamwork. But Kismet from an individual standpoint, and even sometimes Skies, they just have to step it up in the slaying numbers.
Yeah, just take a look at here at some clips from the series. This was the 3-2 round here in the search. I'll up the quality for you guys. This is a big 1v1 from Sib. There's a lot of controversy in my chat. I didn't think this was a snake at all, but hella people in my chat were saying it was a snake and calling for a red card. I mean, they're fucking nuts in it, but what did you guys think? Did you think this was a snake from Dante? I did not. I thought he was crouching again.
No snake.
This is
no,
where...
No snake.
Those
this
are
is,
crouches there. No those
snake.
Are crouches
it's,
there.
It's one not snake. A snake by the definition
two
of
snake.
The GA,
okay,
but
pumped.
The problem is... This is where the line gets drawn, and it's just something that is going to be kind of impossible to fix, right? In my opinion, a pop-up glitch, a one pump, a two pump is still a snake, and most of the time, when people do it, they are intentionally knowing they are going to pop up somebody and snake them. Rather, it's not obviously egregious, but at the same time, like, that's the one thing that you'll never be able to stop if the animation isn't fixed completely, where people are knowingly, like, I'm going to one pump this guy and gain an advantage in a scenario I should not have an advantage in. So, like, yeah, it's not a snake
There's
by definition
no point
of
to
the
change
GA.
The animation, though.
It's just like, it's just annoying. Like, and they
let,
need
let
to, they
people
need
to
do
fix
it
all they want. Just let people do it all they want.
What do you mean?
Just give them hella sway when they stand up.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, there's
That's
ways to fix
doing.
It.
Yeah.
But
no, I mean, that is a good, that is a good
point,
way to do
dude.
It.
It's just, it's so
and,
cringe.
And then also, I mean,
it makes the most sense. Like, if you want to do this, when you stand up to go for a gunfight, your aim is swaying like crazy. You can't hit your shot.
Yeah, there needs
but you
to be
can
like
do
a
this
stamina
and get all the,
like,
you can do all this, get all the information you want, but you can't stand up and take a chow right after you do it. That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm. I will say that Scrappy came in during the watch party today, and he basically said that their team aren't following GAs anymore, and he's chalking that shit up because Dante stair glitched him, and he lost fucking composure. So apparently GAs might be chalked unless the GA
Wait,
commissioner can figure something out.
Over a stair glitch, not a snake?
Nope, it was a stair. Dante was stair glitching mid cut.
Did you show your clip
on like, Karachi?
I would low key rather
pulled,
stair
no,
glitching
just
become a thing again and snakes stay out.
No, I remember it was in the search when Scrap shit on him shortly after, actually. Remember when he chased him into green cut?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
We all,
stair glitching
is nowhere near as bad as snaking.
Stair glitching is much worse than fucking snaking. Because
no, it's not. Because you can't do it everywhere.
But we are
snaking
forgetting...
Bro, did you watch the last 2 years of CDL, bro? People would literally go to cover and just fucking bob up and down.
Yeah, but eventually you have to chow snaking. Stair glitching, you are impenetrable.
You
are never
really unkillable. Like, you actually
even though the spots aren't everywhere, but where they are is insane.
Yeah, bro. Imagine you're playing high rise and the guy's just like laying down stair glitching blue. Like, you are not, you can't go in blue. Or like
they're
you're coming
cheese,
out the windows.
Bro.
They're just
yeah, they're both whack. But I would way rather watch
you eventually
someone
got to shoot your gun. Dude, stair glitching. You're just what do? You stun Nate and hope he doesn't have a trophy.
Bro, but the difference is people intentionally snake. They like went to spots and just snaked the whole round.
That's
like,
why we call the snake pit fucking.
I think both are dog shit, and if you do them, you're terrible.
Yeah, I don't like. I don't know what's gonna happen with GAs. I told Scrap. I said Scrap. Why are you looking at me? You got to start talking in the GHA. You got to get people talking in there. And you guys got to look at certain things, look at clips. And then if you guys want to punish people, punish people. I don't know. Like, you guys got to figure something out. You know what I mean? Apparently, there was a lot of GAs broken this weekend. Maybe some of them we didn't see. But Scrappy looked
wants
in here
bet
and said,
nothing has been said in that chat in months.
That's what I'm saying.
It's all,
that's the
it's
problem.
All talk,
that's
no,
the fucking
it's
problem.
All talk, no fucking action.
It's like, what am I throwing red cards and yellow cards out for if we're not going to use them? You know what I mean?
The committee's never fucking meeting, Tom. That's a problem. They're fucking, I guess, perpetually fucking in
Yeah, I mean, I mean, at that point, you know, they gotta try and figure it out and talk amongst themselves. Listen, if they're not gonna talk in the GA chat, then I don't want to hear them bitching. I don't want to hear any fucking bitching, bro. If they're not gonna be in the GA chat trying to get something going and trying to get some initiative here, then it's fucking chalk. If Scrappy thinks that people can't follow GAs and it's over with, then we go right back to square one, which is where I said we were ultimately gonna get to.
Bro,
I mean, eventually we're gonna get here.
Every core head's gonna prevail. Obviously, you'll go back to fucking Jersey. Take a look at some of these clips. Get some people
back
on
to the basement in Jersey. Last time I was in Jersey is when the GA commission shit went down in the basement. So we might need to make that happen again. We might need to figure something out. But yeah, just a little controversy there. And then another clip here from the series. Take a look at the spawn nades here from New York. Chris, you can explain it better than I can because I forgot the name of the perk again. It's
Ordnance.
A weird name. Ordnance?
Strong arm. So it's strong arm.
I know it's strong arm, guys. I'm not a, what are you, what am I, a moron? I just didn't know. I couldn't remember the perk.
I was hitting you with those strong arm stuns in 2014, huh?
Were you?
Yeah. But basically, basically, the gloves allow you to throw things further. That includes nades, trophies, and stuns. And it also allows you to, what was the other one? Pick up grenades and reset the timer of frags. So I think they're pretty useful. People don't like to use them in respawn because it'll fuck them in scenarios wherever they're trying to like quick stun or quick nade a cut.
Yeah.
And cause weird bouncing stuff. But in Search and Destroy, I mean, like you saw New York, there's a lot of nerdy shit you can do. I pretty much said this like when the game came out. I was like, yo, ordnance gloves are really good. Mm-hmm. Maybe people should try using them. But like
you did say
guys,
that, by the way, because
yeah,
some people,
I did.
Were,
people
saying
were saying
you didn't
I didn't.
Say
I literally
that.
Did.
You did say that.
I'm
you
a fucking
did.
Nerd. I literally read everything about every attachment, glove, whatever the fuck in the game. So I'm glad that somebody actually took the initiative because I'm concerned they might get like banned or GA'd because
why?
Of,
why?
Are they not. Banned?
I don't know. I'm
bro,
not,
hold on,
I'm not
real
saying
quick,
they
real
should.
Quick.
Let me finish.
Do you guys remember Backlot in COD? We didn't even have any perks. You had to dodge pre-nades. That was literally on offense, that was the
level.
I'm more so just saying
that like other things in the game, some people might just view them as cheesy because, for example, like at least on Karachi, if you throw those nades every round, it pretty much just denies any sort of coup or instant top three control. And all it takes is one because it's a car bomb. So that's going to mean like that is going to set a meta where that nade is being thrown every time a person is off spawn. And that essentially just denies any control over that site and it makes the defensive end on that bomb OP.
I'm not saying it should.
I'm just saying there's ways that these pros can view stuff like this, especially like even those like crazy wallbangs that probably won't get patched because the developers are lazy. And
the wallbangs are godlike too.
Yeah, it might get GA'd.
I hope they don't.
But at the same time, I thought it was cool that they took that and innovated with it because, I said you could do some crazy shit. I'm not taking credit for their nade. Like I didn't go there and learn how to do it. I'm more so just saying it's great that we saw some innovation because New York's been pretty much doing that even since last year.
New York's always ahead.
Why didn't Troy come out from backstage? What happened, Pat?
Isn't FMJ banned?
Yeah, the ammo type, yeah.
Yeah, like, bro, back in the day, you would do that same shit with FMJ. It was even better.
It's going through the entire map is what it is with the wallbangs. Like, that's not even
good.
Like...
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I am a huge proponent of everything that New York did this weekend. They played the game. They figured shit out. It was a knowledge gap, and they put in more work to figure out the ordnance club thing, to figure out the wallbangs the Paco were doing. If you want to do them, fucking play the game. Figure it out.
Yeah. If you don't want to get wallbang. Put your mag barrier down and then lay it down. That'll soak it up.
There you go. Deployable cover, bro.
Then we hop into the control here. And I thought Dante kind of messed up here, bro. I think he should go to point here just to kind of see how it happens. So that's one dead, two dead. Now that is three dead. And then the last guy is coming through mid. Boom, dead. Right here, everybody should be booking it to point here. If anything, number five should be cutting like red in laundry. And Dante should pull out his pistol and get to that point and stack that point. Because instead, they only have one guy on it. Dante decides to play kills. They get more kills off of this. But what ends up happening is, look, they're even getting more kills here. And then Dante gets a third, but then Dashy wins one fight, and they're already here now. And then he loses the fight on Hill. It's just, man, that was an opportunity for New York to make something happen.
Even if Dante like didn't flood the Hill, which I think is a play he should have done, like, he should have also held the cross. A bit earlier, so his teammate coming down A Street, like he just of the three options that he chose, You chose the worst of the three.
And I talked about this.
What do you think, Sam?
He should go to point there.
I mean, obviously,
I think he should go. I think him going to point was more important, but I think he was just paranoid that he was going to get insta-trade from this angle. Obviously, his teammate is there, but he's kind of watching the mid-cut. He's not really watching for that close mannequin door. So he definitely should have gone to point, I think that. But what I'm talking about, like, in terms of watching the cross, like, he had to make sure he didn't get insta-traded.
Yeah. Well, once the guy mid dies, there's no threat of a trade.
No trade.
Once the guy dies, he's already regenerating his health.
But once that guy mid dies, he pretty much turns around and it's kind of
Yeah, he just runs across fire car straight to the point.
He should have gotten the point there.
And then five cuts Mannequin or cuts their mid cross. And then I think six eventually will show up a search. I think, yeah, just Dante just waits for that mid trade. I think if he full sprints it without knowing where that last guy is, he looks troll there. But once he dies, there's no excuse not to go to point there.
Yeah. And then after that, we head into the 2-1 round. And I mean, it was clinical from Optic on the offense. They are really good.
They're insane
at offense on this map. Just to kind of see how it all unfolds, they're able to get pushed up here. I mean, New York's doing a good job. They're pushing out left. They're playing tight because Optic, they were getting kills, and they kind of got New York kind of pinned here. And it starts with Ant. He wins a gunfight on the pinch. Kenny, he ends up falling here, but he makes them both one shot. So Dashy immediately gets back into the play. And then Dashy, he angles himself so the guy in Hill can't kill him. He's able to get that guy off the soda machine. And take a look at this. That is probably the cleanest four dead you're ever going to see. All four players go down from New York at the same exact time. The gas spawn was being blocked, so they spawn out deep broken, and Optic worked the stack here and win the round. They take it with ease. Fantastic plays from Optic. They're really good at offense. Sam, why are they so good at offense? What makes them so good at it?
They just understand how to play like those mid timings and the spawn kills. Every time you see Optic win an offense on this map, it's a product of someone getting into their gas, like the building outside of Mannequin, and playing the kills on the tank and things like that.
Yeah.
They block that gas spawn them blue, the round is over.
Yeah.
They always find a way to get through Mannequin in mid, and it's just, it's a collapse, bro. It's fucking poetry in motion every time.
Yep. Agreed. And then we move on to the hard point. And I thought going into this P5, Shotzi made a great heads-up play here. This kind of, in my opinion, I thought this changed the game because I'm thinking New York, they're gonna flood through street and maybe get some tacks on New Hill and push through front, kind of force Optic to those, like, back gas spawns. But instead, Shotzi, he finds a timing here on the pinch, and he does find a good timing there. It doesn't look like Kismet sees him. But the streak comes down for Dante, and Shotzi's able to find a two-piece. So it's just so big from Ant to make that pinch while the streak is coming down. Because you know Dante's going to kill this guy in Hill and get the information. This is looking like a New York break, but Shotzi makes a good heads-up play here. Just a really good pinch from him. I don't think if he makes that play, Optic don't lock down this Hill, and they go on to build their lead a lot more here. So it's just a really good heads-up play from Ant to work that flank and just get in there and be a nuisance for New York. Any thoughts on that, guys, from the play from Ant?
No, it was a really good play.
Yeah, I thought it was a game-changing play because New York had an opportunity to break with the streak and bring this game back. But just really, really good plays from Ant there. And then we go to the last P3 here where Sam Kenny, your son, almost gave you a heart attack. Okay. Take a look
here.
This is when he scams out of the point. Yeah. So I'll rewind it so you can see it. But it starts with Optic. They're able to, actually, it was back here. Here it is. So you see Kenny, he's in the point. Optic, they have a perfect setup. Shotzi has the cross. You got 3 and 4 coming off spawn. They have the cross. But Kenny's chowing, and he ends up dying. Kenny tries to chow it. He falls, and then once he dies at a point, it kind of fucks everything up because they die front, then they're getting pinched gas, and then everything kind of collapses. And just like that, AG gets traded out, and boom, just a clean break comes in. So maybe a little bit of a misplay there from Kenny. But luckily for Optic Texas, they bailed themselves out. Build themselves out here. This could have got really scary here. I'm thinking we might be going. I'm not thinking we're going to a last bat, but I'm thinking New York can definitely bring this back and hold a lot of time and basically tie it up going into that P4. And it was just a great break. Was New York Killhorn?
Yeah.
Right here. I mean, I just will say
across
this.
Across the map, Parker
got caught with a wide chow there, which didn't help.
The thing about this map, Pat, is there's only two hills that you can get reliable time on. So there's just so many trades and so many engagements that, like, look at the, there's never time on the clock. And the reason that these scores are so, like, random is P3 and P5 are the only times you can get a good reliable setup in SoCo. Every other time you're just trade, flood, trade, flood.
Exists, bro. Like, I don't think it should be a control point or a hill. This might be the worst objective location I've ever seen.
It's Optic somehow know how to break a control, bro. They did it again.
They broke it again. They broke it again. They pretty much just worked pinches. They worked pinches through mid, and they worked through front, and you can just see the routes they took. I mean, I'm just pausing here. Just look at the routes they're taking. They're all over the map, and this is very difficult.
Now they break
for
a control point too, bro. Teams take notes.
Yeah.
I also really like this. Like, I mean, this is kind of underrated. I don't know if he intentionally did this, but how he slides across this door, if there's a guy in cafe watching that mid cross, like if he goes like this and hits this angle, that like that baited Hydra right into his pre-aim,
because
like he went to chase the kill. So rather than him just squaring up with the cafe guy and walking into a pre-aim, he basically just did the Uno reverse card and made Hydra walk into his.
Yeah, the New York Subliners end up getting 3-1 by the Optic Texas. It was a very good series from Optic. They get back into the grand finals. Gentlemen, any final thoughts on that series?
No,
loser final.
But before we get into the final time, I do want to bring up something. I get your guys' thoughts.
Sure.
Dotsy is 0-11 against the Tiny Terrorists in 150 HP Call of Duty. 0-6 in Cold War, and now 0-5 in MW3.
Thoughts? Definitely a good cherry pick fucking stat right there.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
150 HP COD.
We've only had two of the 5 years.
0-11
fair enough, I guess.
Count?
Yeah, he's never beat him.
Yeah, the Terrors are nasty. The Terrors are going crazy.
One last thing to say about the series in New York in general, they got to figure out whatever this real S&D issue. They just don't want to play it. Like the real S&D auto view obviously didn't hurt them in this series, but it hurt them in a bunch of different series. I do think that they need to figure that map out, especially the S&D map pool changes. They're going to be forced to start playing it at some point.
Yeah. Let's hop into the grand final. This is what everybody's been waiting for. We got Atlanta FaZe going up against Optic Texas. Not trying to toot my own horn here, but I was absolutely flawless through my predictions today. As well as Sam. Me and Sam were both flawless. I fear we know ball.
Is there any reason they stopped doing the full prediction? Like, they just take whoever. Like, if you pick the winner, you automatically get like a free spot. Ben, do you know why they stopped that?
They've been doing that since last year, I think.
No, they used to ask us like, who would you pick in this series versus this series?
I don't know. I think because they just don't have time to do the graphic. I guess I don't know.
Oh, all right.
Seems it's a time thing.
But yeah, let's hop into the grand final. This is the last series of the weekend. It's been a long weekend, so I really appreciate everybody who's been watching the watch parties, tuning along with us. But we finally get down today. So we got Atlanta FaZe going up against Optic Texas, and Atlanta FaZe did not disappoint here in the grand final. They end up taking it 4-1 here in the grand final. You can see the four maps they won right here, and then we'll scroll down. We'll take a look at the stat sheet.
Everybody negative.
Except for Kenny. Kenny saved him with the soundboard here because he's got a 1.18. So Kenny needed some fucking help because my man had 20k damage.
Land,
Pat?
Pat, you
well,
gotta
actually,
take that back, bro. Kenny gets better on land, bro. That's a fact. He always has gotten better on land.
I sadly don't think that's a fact. He did play good in this series. But I'm just gonna read you off some KDs against the top 14.
What about the land match? Shotzi against FaZe.
I'm gonna read you off from this major.
Okay.
Shotzi against FaZe, 0.77. Dashy against FaZe, 0.82. Pred, 0.99. Kenny, 1.02. Shotzi against New York, 0.93. Dashy, 0.94. Pred, 1.0. Kenny, 1.1. Against Ultra, Shotzi, 0.87. Dashy, 0.97. Kenny, 0.98. Pred, 1.08. If you look at their consistency, like I mentioned, Shotzi gets worse compared online versus the top four. Pred gets better, and Kenny and Dashy are about the same.
So we care about KD as a metric of whether you're good or bad.
No, it's total kills. Total kills.
So we care about KD as a metric of whether we're good or bad.
No. Total kills. Whether you get kills on land versus online. If you get more kills online, then you're better than you are online or on land. It's just a fact.
I don't think he's saying they're bad. I'm just saying he's saying that they perform
worse. Obviously, Kenny's a star. Pred's a superstar. Shotzi's an all-star. Although I will say, and I did say this live, Sam, you were there. After this event, at least, I'm thinking Shotzi going down to star and Kenny up to all-star. Yeah, I do think. He's playing better than Shotzi, so I think that's fair.
I just think the you know, we've talked about this with this Optic team that, you know, Brandon's not always the quickest player. AG's not always the quickest player. Ant's very quick. And Ken's trying to fill the gaps. I think against FaZe, you see sometimes, like, their trade chemistry, like, their ability to trade just doesn't work. I've noticed a lot, like, Ant's in these 50-50s of, like, he's definitely making individual plays. But there were times during the series where Ant was definitely getting baited by his teammates and they were nowhere to be fucking found on the trade. So I think they got to go back, watch the film, and work on, I don't know if it's a mental thing, I don't know if it's a chemistry thing, on just playing the same way they do against other teams and not being, I guess, so scared to play FaZe.
I don't know if they're scared. I wouldn't say they're scared.
I just think FaZe is just better. Like, they're just a better team.
Maybe scared. You guys get what I'm saying, though. I don't, maybe scared is not the right word, but they're definitely switching up to their play styles and timings.
And they just can't shoot against them, bro.
I agree with that, Sam. That's a better
word. I mean, did you not see how Simp was starting maps? He was running at them.
13 kill streak to start the grand final was definitely
scary. He was just running at them. It was the most disrespectful clip I've ever seen in my life.
So a few clips, actually, from Simp here. I mean, to start things off. So first we start things off here when it's going from a P2 to a P3. And watch how Simp is able to flip these spawns. So he just plays a corner, which I love. He feels the pressure and he waits. Then he's able to find two. Finds the three piece. Now look at the spawns now. Optic immediately flip out off that three piece, and they're spawning out. Not only do FaZe get this time, but now we go into the P3 hard point, and you got Simp that goes on a 13 kill streak here against Optic Texas, which is a very difficult team to play against. And Simp makes it look easy. So let me rewind it because you guys didn't miss that first gunfight there. But that was actually for the streak there. So Simp, he's in this next hard point. He goes rogue. He's able to flip spawns by himself, and you can see him at next. And I guess we'll just let this play out so you guys can just take a look and see the plays that he was able to make.
I think we're faded right here. Look at this. Kenny should have calmed. He's in this corner, and I don't know what this guy does when he comes around the corner, but watch this shit.
I mean, this was just crazy. And I love right here that Simp, he gets the kill, and he pushes out, and he bumps hill. He has somebody else get hill. I like how he gets shot here, and he doesn't turn around and chow. He jumps off a top three, able to find one, able to find two. Then he's trying to stay alive here. He wraps back with his king.
He kills 3 times on this streak. He's probably fucking tweaking.
Yeah. No, Kenny's definitely like, somebody fucking kill this guy, please. And you can just see just the way that he's able to read pressure and maneuver around the map. I mean, he's very, very good at just switching lanes and switching up his positions. Like, you can't track him. Like, you don't know where he's going. Even right here, he wins a gunfight while stunned. And he just continues to go, and that's going to do it for the 13 killstreak. He ends up going top bridge here and dying. But you can see, just from Simp alone, these motherfuckers are up 100 points. Like, Simp just went fucking crazy. So I definitely wanted to highlight that 13 killstreak because that was a record breaker today. That was that's right, the current record. For
Dante had 10 before 10. That.
And then this map gets close, man. We end up going down all the way down to a P2. And to be honest with you, FaZe, they win the fights. They spawn Optic out. I'm thinking, yeah, this is all over. GG. I'm feeling good. I'm smiling. And then I see this, and I go, oh, shit. Oh, no. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? They start trolling. They stop shooting at the guys running out of front. They all fall. And just like that, Optic are able to win the fights P2 and send this to another P3 hard point.
Man,
I was
a huge player here staying alive.
Who didn't? Kenny?
Fucking dolphin diving and shit? No, he slides out of the hill, chows the spawner, comes back. They need 5 seconds to win. He's bought all the time in the world.
He goes nuts. And I mean, FaZe, they're able to get a couple more seconds there, but this is where I'm getting a little nervous now. I start shitting my pants a little bit. You can see the setup from Optic. It's a perfect setup here. I mean, they're ready to go. They're locked in. And
It's not a perfect setup.
Okay.
It's
definitely, I think.
Break it down, Benjay.
Brother.
Go ahead, Benjay. Okay, break down the setup, Benjay.
So I assume AG's trying to play for a top three hop. But I think they kind of, either it's bad communication or the fact of the matter is the guy in Hill is only limited in so much of what he can watch left that, you know, AG's going to get singled out because they have no info for the guys are going left. He dies stairs. And all of a sudden, you're shifted on the right and they have all the high ground on the left side come from Coop. And it's just a matter of just getting the trades.
Well, I think AG needs to be, I actually didn't mind the setup. I just think AG needs to be proactive here.
No, AG's got to shimmy and help them left because the guy in Hill can only watch. So he can't see the full left cross from Hill.
I think the biggest problem is AG just needs to be in a spot where his teammates can trade him. And he's just not. He's pushed out in the staircase and they're able to kill him. And they
I disagree with That, I think AJ needs to be in a spot to get guaranteed info. So he's playing away. He's playing a position that kind of leaves six out to dry and five because they get top three control. Granted, someone's in the hill looking at it, but they're under the assumption that someone's going to be top three. So they can't overextend to actually look low coop, and the guy on hill can't see the stairs. So if AG pushes top three, eliminates that, six can then walk out and play the dumpster to guarantee the info low three to like look into coop. But instead, AG doesn't have any info for where they could be. So six has to play a way to not die from top three as well as five. So once AG dies, five turns, Tyler pinches, game ends.
Yeah. I was thinking just have AG just stay practical on the stairs. Like, check your top, check your low.
He could have thrown shoulders
like
Lee Garage. Like,
throw some shoulders. Like, throw some shoulders. Like you said, get the information. I just thought he could have been more proactive and just been more mobile here. But he ends up just laying down here and he just gets shot in the back. And then I think the 1v1 here on the pinch, because you see what happens. They die top three, and number five, Kenny, he ends up giving up the OE red because he's trying to help his team now. And then the pinch comes in from a BZ. He wins the fight, and then it's just a clean four dead, and Atlanta FaZe are able to take it. 35-23 from Simp in his map. Holy shit. What a map from him. But good break. You see Kayson going fucking nuts in the crowd, getting everybody riled up.
He was in the trenches today. Fucking fighting.
He was fighting in there, bro, going fucking nuts. You can hear him on a fucking stream as well. But just a really, really good play here from FaZe there on the break. I just thought they worked that perfectly. Just the pinch from a BZ and the way that they were able to get that kill AG. I just thought the routes that they took there was great. And then we hop into the terminal S&D. This was the 4-4 round. And Optic, again, it's the same problem from the last series. This fucking Esky push. It's fucking Shotzi and it's fucking Big Brucey. We can't handle these guys pushing Esky, bro. These guys just keep finding ways to get pushed up here and make a play. You can see Bruce, he gets pushed up here, and MC's just not reading it. And you can see how just all that beat control goes back to Optic. We don't need to talk too much about it because we already talked about this play. But just to kind of show you that the same problems were happening when they played the map again. Just really, really difficult for them to hold that Esky. I don't know what it is. And Optic obviously just know how to execute it really well. I think Shotzi, just his movement, he's just able to finesse and get up to that planter. It's a really good play from him. And then we go over to the 5-5, round 11. Optic, again, they're able to get into plane. So if I rewind it back a little bit, this is where Atlanta FaZe stack B. So boom. Finally, they stack Esky, which I think they should have been doing this a long time ago because Optic just kept hitting out Esky and we couldn't hold it. But finally, they decided to do it. Good call from Optic. I think Optic read that. I think they understood that they've been pushing Esky and it was working for them. So they wanted to switch it up because I think they expected a blind counter from FaZe. And then they just get into plane. They get into plane. Simp throws the tax down. Me personally, bro, I think those tax Esky should be saved, bro. If we're going to stack Esky, I think Atlanta FaZe should save their tax. Just use your numbers, save your tax. Worst case scenario, they go A, you can retake with your grenades.
If you don't have grenades to retake a full plane setup, you're not winning the
round.
You're
chalked, bro. You're fucking chalked. Because even like looking at it, like they don't have anything. Simp threw his nades in there, and he got him tagged up. Like Simp hit him with his nade. There was just nobody there to throw one with him. And then you can see the trades come in. And I think right there on the pinch, you can see Selim and Dashi, number one and number eight. MC sees Bruce, but look at how Bruce plays this. So he's able to find one on the pinch from MC. And then he finds another one here, just kind of staying alive and playing his life really well. He's able to find a couple kills on a pinch and go massive. So Dashi wins him the map there. Big plays from Big Brucey. Now you see the Green Wallers going at it. They're going fucking nuts. The crowd was electric today. Good plays from Brucey there, huh? I think if MC wins that if MC's more, because MC sees him here. If MC wins this fight, because he sees him cross it, if he wins this fight, I think FaZe win this round.
He gives himself bad timing. So if he would have, like, I mean, obviously it's like hindsight because he's probably scared that he's going to get re-peaked from like cockpit and die. But like he's like very cautious and he's hugging the wall and like looking towards cockpit. If he just like ran straight down the hallway while keeping that hallway gap,
put shots into Pred. He's the one that got Pred one shot.
Yeah, he would have saw Brandon cross back towards Dreams. So like when he comes around that corner, he's under the impression that Brandon is already towards terminal, and he just gets shot on the side, kind of.
Yeah, it was a good play. Con Optic also won all their fights as well. I just think Dashi goes fucking nuts on a pinch. If he doesn't get that two piece, I don't think they win this round. Dashi just makes a really, really good heads up play. And then that's obviously gonna do it for the S&D. There was a three piece nade from Kenny here in the 2-3 round. If you guys want to take a look at it back home, just in case you guys miss the series, but we'll take a look at it. Kenny, I thought it was really weird that FaZe got into book here with three guys with no trophy. Isn't that not like a very big risk here? I mean, you got no trophy in the most nated place on the map. And you can see just all the grenades coming in. They just get bombarded with frags. And Kenny with a nice little three-piece nade there. Just a little highlight.
I don't think Optic was doing that every round. Like, maybe they were...
No flak either?
Maybe
no flak either, bro. They got hit by multiple nades. They probably had flak.
Yeah, they got double nade. Maybe Kenny was single nading it before, but they ended up double nading this round. Either way, it was a good blind counter. I mean, the thing is, though, it's like you can't run every single strat off of, like, having trophies or not. Like, it's just not, like, if you're going to do that, like, you're just not going to have a lot of variance. It's a 50-50
Whether they naded through dreams, because they were throwing those dreams nades a lot, like, from low parking lot into the terminal cross, so they just, it happened to be the round that triple hit book.
Yeah, it's just a blind counter.
And then we get to the control, and I'm like, fuck, man, Optic Texas get a clean 4 dead here. They already have one tick. They three stacked the point. I'm thinking this is fucking chalk, but look at how this unfolds. I mean, this was a crazy ending.
In fucking hell.
Bruce spawns in hell. He can't get there in time to help. The FaZe boys are desperately trying to get in there. That team kill from Ant, I think, was big, but it's also a clusterfuck. So
yeah,
he clearly
back up. It was AG. Were they like Eiffel Towering and then he just stood up and got fucking boobopped?
I don't think the team kill really matters that much, to be
really?
Honest.
Really? I thought it mattered.
I think the trades still go the way that they
But I don't
anyway.
Think it was like a bad team kill. I just think they're one shot.
Yeah, I think it was
like,
unfortunate, but
like
I don't think it's like,
you know what I mean?
I think they still lose the trades.
I hate
here,
this game.
You know?
What were they doing, that's exactly what happened. No, AG was lying down and stood up, and that's why Amphibian.
I hate the inconsistency of this game. Why the fuck does Brandon spawn deep left
right,
and then
Ben.
The rest of his team spawns on the American flag? Like, CL number 5 and them are all spawning there. Bruce is the only one that spawned deep left, and then they all started spawning there.
FaZe go massive here at the end, too, because they only have 4 lives, and they end up winning every fucking fight here.
He just spawned ice cream now. Like, dude.
Yeah. Nah, he's losing fucking composure.
Why is he the only one spawning far?
Yeah. Like, you can see Atlanta FaZe. They don't have any lives, but there's no time left on the clock, and they're able to get it. Pat, you want me to back it up?
He just wants to see the spawns.
Right,
like,
before where he spawned.
There's just no consistency, bro. Like, it's
his map sucks.
He spawns there when his team's already pushed up the street, and then you'll see his teammates as they die. They start spawning where Bruce is now, and then Bruce is going to die
Can you back it up to where they got that American flag? Like, the last player to get that American flag.
American flag?
You'll see. I mean, you're going to see it happen.
After the trades happen.
It happens after the trades. You're going to see Brandon spawn. Yeah. Just keep watching.
Okay. Just before Brandon spawns.
This just doesn't make sense, like, regardless, like, how... These guys spawn here, but then you're going to watch Bruce later. He spawns ice cream instead of at the fortress for no reason. It's just, here's an American guy, another American guy, and then you're going to see Bruce spawn fucking ice cream. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why does he not spawn?
He just got the bad RNG, Chris.
I know, but why? Look at this shit. Look at it, brother. Why?
I don't know.
What the fuck? Where's the fucking point?
Pat, would that happen next to Vlad?
No, absolutely not. But I'm wondering if it like went on. So you know how we're talking about the cooldown thing? Like, he got that ice cream spawn right after 3 of his teammates got the American spawn. And the reason I wanted you to back it up before Brandon spawn was to see if like 3 of his teammates had spawned there prior, and he was just like the 4th one, and there just wasn't a spawn available.
I feel like that cooldown would be long as fuck. No,
I just hate
it's
a curve. Triple spawn American, and then a couple seconds pass, and then Brandon dies.
But they could set that time to whatever they want.
Cooldown,
right?
Like,
it could be 5 seconds.
Like,
it could be 10
seconds. It shouldn't fucking exist. Like, there's
they
no
don't
reason.
Want you to get spawn trapped.
There's something about Optic and spawns on that map that just
there is
sucks.
Zero reason as to like why that should be a thing. I don't care if they don't want you to get spawn trapped. That's just dumb logic. And you can't control it as a player. You're just at the mercy of the game. It just sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you go beyond Karachi and you spawn Coop instead of behind the bread.
Mm-hmm. And then we go into the Skid Row hard point. This was Optic's pick. I was worried going into this map because I know this is Optic's bread and butter, but FaZe did not disappoint here. They showed up. We had a listen here, and I thought the listening was great, so let's turn into Atlanta FaZe.
Listen, I'm gonna pinch on apps. There's one wall in there right now.
Go for it.
Try and set up a good break here. It's a game.
I will.
Let's go. That guy's falling tunnel. I got some MC. Hold on.
Dumpy.
This map is awesome.
I don't see anything crossing P5.
Petrol bad right here too.
MCW. And that's gonna do it for the listening here for Atlanta FaZe. I thought they sounded good. Just bro, Simp was everything. Comms. Even in the comms, like just directing people, having people come with them and challenging together. I love the way him and MC played that back alley together and went all the way around. I thought that was just really good listening from them. Definitely wanted to highlight that. What did you guys think?
Oh, he goes, the edit listen is like, I'm going to play this old, just like three pieces of them for 30 seconds, oh, yeah. Just like without taking it. Like,
he was just on something different.
It was all him, dude. That whole map was
I'm just thinking about Dumpy, bro.
What? You think about what? And then we hop into the last hill here. I mean, this is a top. This is Optic's got a 20-30 point lead. They got a 30 point lead going into the P5. FaZe decide to chalk everything up and rotate, and I love the play from Zach here. Draza, he is not scared to chow, and that's what I love about him. I thought he was going to stay down.
That's what I was begging for.
Yeah, Draza, I thought he was going to stay down because they were putting bullets into him, but he doesn't care. He knows he has the power position. He's got a trophy down on him. He does not hesitate to chow, and he continues to chow here as well. He's not scared. He knows his team has the tunnel spawns, and they're looking over to cross. And he does a great job just staying alive, switching up his lanes. And I think at this point, it was all over. FaZe had him funneled ticket. They were blocking the tunnel spawns. You can see those back alley spawns just keep coming in from Optic. And all Atlanta FaZe need to do is keep throwing trophies down and holding this cross here.
Man, they're trolling, bro. They're just trying to force it.
Shotzi's trying to fucking dolphin dive across the fucking air. I respect the effort, but it's just a really hard. I mean, there's not much you can do on this setup. You just got to have to try and do some crazy shit and win some crazy fights. But FaZe, they do a good job just locking this down.
Imagine they had a smoke, though. Smoked across.
Yeah, no, 100%. The smoke would definitely be different there. This game would play way different if there was a smoke. It would be insanely different.
I think people would play like they'd play more the backside of the hill and double stack it so you just see people run through the smoke. They're just watching the cross at that point.
Yeah, and then honestly, for the last map, Rio, I didn't have many clips. I was so locked into it. I think one takeaway from it is, Ant had a good map, but I felt like that Optic in general just kept getting blooded. There was a lot of rounds where FaZe were just getting first bloods, and there wasn't really too much, or there wasn't any trades coming in from Optic. Even right there, right? AG's trying to push you. He goes down, and nobody's there. Like, AG's by himself hitting mid.
They don't have a lot of double chow mid strats. We saw a couple of rounds, Tom, where, like, offensive strats for Optic where they're all playing their spawn side, and then Shotzi's just trying to dive out middle, finesse to get a bomb down quick. Like, I don't know. I would like to see them gang up a little more.
I think his teammates kind of stole him right there
that's what I was saying earlier.
Whether he was going rogue for the plant by himself or whether his teammates didn't help him. But there was I think 7 or 8 consecutive offensive round wins on this map. So yeah. FaZe was the first team to win a defense here and get a lead going. But I think AG kind of had a tough map. There was a couple of first blood situations where he kind of threw his life away. Same with Ant to start the map.
Mm-hmm. And you can see the winning moment here when Atlanta FaZe was able to get another championship under their belts. It's another one tallied to the organization. And, as a FaZe fan, I couldn't be more happier for the guys. I know they've gone through a lot of shit. A lot of people talk shit about them. They get booed every time they get on stage. And they've been getting a lot of second places. And a lot of people just keep saying, Silver Surfers and writing them off. You got Reddit posts about Crowder, and you got people talking about the coaching and bang,
Reddit
bang,
post
boom.
About Crowder? That's
pure obsessed.
Yeah, they're
people
always
saying Chris is a fraud.
They also lost LAG, and everyone was freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, you have Nameless texting people saying fucking Phaser, this is unacceptable. This is like, this should never happen. They got to have to do something. But I just felt like a lot of people were just writing them off when I just feel like it's, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. They have an average placing of what, top three the last what? 3 years? 2 years?
The level they've been together and for how long, it's unprecedented.
The fact that people even just expect them to win like all the time is just stupid.
So yeah, I just think they really, really deserve this win, and I couldn't be happier for them. You got Crowder up there, Coach RJ, Tupac, you got Kaysen up there, you got Tucker in the back. It was just cool to see them lift a trophy. We finally got a trophy, and it's a very beautiful trophy as well.
Bigger than Chris.
Yeah, beautiful trophy, and just a crazy, crazy event. Great, great weekend. I definitely think FaZe and Optic looked like the two best teams on the weekend, without a doubt. Not just because they were in the grand final, just throughout the weekend, I thought they looked like the best, even from start to finish, before they even got there. And I'm just really excited to see how everybody adapts going home. We had Toronto win Major 1. Then you had like FaZe and Optic kind of sneak in there. They've been adapting. Now they look really good. Now I think we expect New York to start maybe fighting for these chips, maybe getting a grand final. I mean, these top four teams are going to be battling
this year.
Well, Tom,
speaking of FaZe, you know who their second, third, and fourth matches are this season?
No.
Or this next what? Well, they play Rocker first, whatever. Okay. And they play Optic, Toronto, and New York. So you're going to see FaZe playing some top four teams the first couple of weeks after this break.
That's crazy. They play literally the other top, three teams.
And then they play Vegas, Carolina, and Seattle, but, you know.
Yeah. But, guys, it's been a great weekend. That's going to be it for all the matches. I mean, Ben, if you want to hit us out with a fucking putt and close us out, I mean, guys, get your channel point predictions. And, Ben, he's been a little shaky.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Right before, I want to know, before Major 3 starts, who you guys have winning Major 3? I want you calling it now before we see any games. Who do you have winning Major 3, Tom?
FaZe, back-to-back. Go fuck yourself.
Sam?
I might go Toronto.
Wait, sorry, what's going on?
Chris, who do you have winning Major 3?
Yo, Chris literally blacked at you. I looked over at him, and he blacked at you. It's been a long day, bro.
Who do you have winning Major 3?
FaZe.
All right, I got Toronto.
What the fuck? What is that buzzing noise?
I don't know, but it's either way, it's just... Either way, bro, it's just we don't even know, bro. We're gonna have a complete map. We're gonna have a completely different map pool, probably.
That's why we're predicting now.
It's literally just gambling at this point.
Hit
who adapts quicker?
Fucking pop, Ben. Let's see what Benjay can do, ladies and gentlemen. He's stepping
up. Tom, can you have him back it up?
Yeah, no, he's good. He's deep.
I said Toronto.
He's good. Nah. A little bit more.
Creeping up.
Take one step back. Right there. Boom. Right there. That's good. Yeah. It's a long putt. It's like a fucking 7-footer. You got that. What do you think it is? Ben thinks this is like a 15 fucking foot putt here.
Nah.
But it's championship Sunday. Hit the fucking putt. What the fuck is he doing? What the fuck is he doing?
He's trying to measure it out, dude. All right, Ben's 5 foot nothing, so.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Benjay Nassim stepping up to the plate.
8 or 9,
that's a 5 foot putt.
He's going to line it up. He doesn't have his slippies on. Is it going to affect him here? A lot of channel points are coming in on a miss. And he goes one, and he's not even fucking close.
Jesus.
Oh,
Christ.
Jesus.
So we can fuck him. He cheated yesterday. Yeah.
That's a liar,
and it's
bro.
Not, and it's not even fucking close, folks. Benjay
Nassim. That's a liner.
Failing the putt, and he falls a little short there. He basically makes that putt. That's a real hole that goes in, but it's too late. You failed, Ben. It's okay. It happens. Ladies and gentlemen, there was 25 million channel points on him missing. You guys are eating good tonight, folks. You're eating good. Okay. But, guys, before we head out, first and foremost, I want to show a huge shout-out to the panel, Chris, Ben, Sam, and Pat. It's been a long weekend. We've been watch-partying. We've been hanging out. We've been having a good time, and I really appreciate you guys. So thank you guys so much.
Can I make you lose full?
I'm in the middle of like.
I want you to watch something. Blind watch something.
We're being wholesome right now, Benja.
I'm just being so wholesome. Nah. I was about to go so wholesome.
Nah. Click the.
He's gonna have you watch the bullshit. Watch. By the way, you ended this stage at 75% putting.
This bro linked the bullshit.
That's pretty good.
Bro, Ben, what are you linking me, Ben? I can't even fucking
link. I'll show you after this stream.
Thank you, motherfucker.
Ben's got me checked out, linking me this dog shit ass sport.
But guys, yet again, I want to give a huge, huge, huge shout out to Xfinity, the fastest, most reliable internet, best in the business. Give it up for Xfinity, folks, and show them some love, because yet again, can't stress it enough, we would not be here without Xfinity, bro. They helped us out a ton. And I can't thank them enough. So huge shout out to them. Huge shout out to FaZe Clan. They've supported me with everything with the merch drop this weekend and the streams. FaZe Clan always got my back. So huge shout out to FaZe. Zach Catterall, Eric Anderson, Pepsi. Huge shout out to them.
The Embassy in Fort Lauderdale. They were a great host for us. Renaissance in Fort Lauderdale. Sorry.
Yep. And then the hotel as well. Shout out to the Renaissance here in Fort Lauderdale. They were phenomenal all weekend long. I mean, they were literally bringing us food and stuff and drinks, and the service was incredible. So huge shout out to the hotel for letting us have the space. And guys, huge shout out to you guys, man. You guys are absolutely incredible, bro. The energy in the streams this weekend was fucking insane. Both in the watch parties, the shows, everything, bro. The IRL stream. I did an IRL stream. It's uploaded on the Zoom Live. You want to check it out. But just everything was fucking crazy this weekend. And I really can't thank you guys enough, bro. It's a long weekend. And I know we're sitting on a couch, but it gets really grueling. And it's really long days. And I don't think if I had the energy in the chat, bro, I don't know if I'd be able to make it, bro. You guys literally make my job so much easier. And I fucking love you guys. I can't thank you guys enough. Best community in the world, bro. So show yourselves some love. And huge congratulations again to Atlanta FaZe, Paul Hamilton, and all those guys down there. Obviously, we were rooting for the guys all weekend. So for them to get that W was awesome, man. That was a nice cherry on top. FaZe Black also got second place in Challenger. So I was really happy with FaZe Black. They made a run, and if they're gonna lose, they lost to the Wood Chippers. They lost to Gunless and Classic. They lost to some of our friends, and you know, I thought FaZe Black looked really good as well.
I think you need a FaZe Reaper, man.
The FaZe Reaper, man. Nogola, Classic. You know how it gets. But guys, thank you guys so much for watching this week, and we hope you guys all enjoyed. Like, comment, and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Go to anchor.fm/TheFlank to check out all the audio sites we're on. Go follow at The Flank Gersh, doing a phenomenal job running socials, and that is always Zuma.gg to check out any merch that's available, guys. As always, take care. Brush your hair. Take it easy, and we'll see you guys next time on another episode of The Flank. Take care, guys.
Not again.
Jesus Christ.